It's 3 o'clock in the morning. A car quietly glides down a dirt road located on the Brennan Ranch in Abiquiu, 50 miles north of Santa Fe, New Mexico.
Hey, have you got it?
Yeah, it's right here.
Oh, where do you think we should put it?
Hey, how about right here next to the sidewalk?
Ah, perfect.
All right, give me the shovel.
Here you go. I think that's deep enough. Go ahead and put it in.
Yeah, there. All right, come here. Help me pat the dirt around it.
Shh. What's that?
It's a car. Man, they're here early. We can't get
caught, so let's get out of here right now.
Two people have just snuck something onto the Brennan Ranch. What were they doing? Why were they there? To find out, join the adventure in Jonathan Park and the Blazing Star. Later that morning, a group meets in a conference room located in the brand new building at the Brennan Museum of Creation.
Okay, if everyone could please find a seat. Most of you know me. My name is Jonathan Park. I'm the son of Dr. Kendall Park, Vice President and Director of Scientific Research here at the museum. He and the President and Founder of the museum asked me to welcome all of you and to let you know that they'll be here in just a moment. So I would like to welcome all of you to this final training session for the Brennan Museum of Creation. Oh, here they are now. Dad, it's all yours.
Thank you, son. I want to thank all of you for being here. You know, for many years, we've had a dream to establish this museum. We've envisioned three major outreaches that we would build on this ranch. First, we wanted a large creation museum. We also wanted to open up Hidden Cave to the public. And finally, we wanted our dinosaur graveyard to be a place where the public could come and participate in a real dinosaur excavation. And I'm excited to say, we are ready. With that, I'd like to turn this meeting over to Jim Brennan, our founder and director.
Jim.
In this room, we have bookstore attendants, museum guides, maintenance volunteers, and many other support staff. To all of you, we say thank you for answering the Lord's call to be a part of this team. Now, most of you know that since today is Tuesday, we've just 4 more days until the grand opening on Saturday, so we have a lot to do. I'm going to invite Martha up in just a minute to give us specifics about the celebration. But first, you just bear with me. I need to go over just a few items of business.
Hey, guys. I think our training meeting went pretty well.
Thanks, Martha. I did, too.
God has sure been faithful to see this project through. I mean, look at all the people who have stood with us financially.
Yeah, it's been a real blessing.
Dr. Kendall Park, line 3.
All right, I guess I'll go get that. And then we're going to go ahead and...
Honey, there's a phone right here, remember?
Oh, yeah, that's right. It's going to take me a while to get used to this whole new place.
Me too, partner.
Hello, this is Dr. Kendall Park with the Brennan Museum of Creation.
This is Scott from the Petrified National Forest.
Oh, hey, Scott.
I was just calling to let you know that you've been granted your permit.
You're kidding. Wow, we pretty much given up.
Well, it's been approved, but you need to pick up your specimens within the next 72 hours, or it may be a while. I'll be unavailable for the next 3 months.
What?
I'm sorry for the short notice. The permit was approved just before my trip. I know it's an inconvenience, but if you want the pieces, you need to get out here pronto.
All right, I understand. Scott, I'll give you a call back and let you know if I'm coming.
Fair enough. I'll talk to you later.
Okay, bye.
Hey, Kendall, what was that about?
Well, about 3 months ago, I submitted a research proposal to the Petrified Forest in Arizona.
Well, wasn't that for the museum?
Yes. Not only would I do my research project, but we would catalog the specimens and then be allowed to exhibit them here in our museum.
Oh, that's great.
What's the Petrified Forest?
Well, Jesse, Petrified Forest National Park is located in northeastern Arizona. It has some of the most beautiful painted dunes and Indian petroglyphs.
But the most amazing thing about the Petrified Forest is all the petrified logs. There's thousands and thousands of them on the ground, and thousands more buried beneath the ground.
So, Dad, you want to do a research project on petrified wood?
Yes. There's excellent evidence that those trees were growing somewhere else when suddenly they were uprooted by a huge amount of water and transported to their current position there in Arizona.
Wow, that would take a lot of force.
You're right, Jesse. The way the Bible describes the flood of Noah, it wasn't some calm little flood. It was a huge, catastrophic event.
And so how did all those trees become fossilized?
Well, that's the exciting part. With all the floodwaters and volcanic activity that creation scientists theorized were present during the flood, it would create the perfect conditions to fossilize all those trees very rapidly.
This is completely different than how an evolutionist interprets the evidence.
Yep, evolutionists would say that there was an ancient forest living there about 225 million years ago or so. The forest grew right where it is today, and then the trees aged and were buried, and then they fossilized over a very long period of time.
And that's what my research project was going to be about. Showing the overwhelming evidence for a worldwide flood in Petrified National Park.
So, Dad, are we going?
Nick's already got an awesome display made for the Petrified Forest, but we finally yanked it because it was pointless without actually having the wood to display. Boy, if we could get those samples, it would really create an incredible impact to our museum for opening day.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, this project is so important. But with the grand opening coming in just 4 days, I don't think we should leave right now, Jim.
That's a tough call.
Well, look, I think we all have a couple of things to do right now, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
If I go, it would be tomorrow. So let's just pray about it, and then we can decide tonight. Okay, Jim?
Sounds good.
Zach!
Hey, guys!
Hey, Dr. Benson!
Good to see you, Jonathan.
This is truly amazing.
No doubt. This is one of the most impressive dinosaur graveyards I've ever seen. We must have uncovered hundreds of Coelophysis fossils.
I wasn't talking about the dinosaur graveyard, Zach. I meant you.
Huh?
Zach Benson. It wasn't more than a couple of years ago that you were a zealous evolutionist. And now look at you. Here you are working on a creation-based dig site.
I know, Kendall. I can't believe it myself. These last 2 years have been truly amazing. I feel like a new creation.
Well, Zach, it happens to the best of us.
And the worst of us.
Oh, amen. We are all sinners saved by grace.
Yeah. So, Dr. Benson, what are you doing?
Well, Jonathan, I was just organizing the tools and doing the final cleanup on this visitor area.
So these are the fossils that guests will be able to work on?
That's the idea. See, there's about 20 partially exposed fossils. Our guests will be able to participate in uncovering them.
So how is our site like Ghost Ranch?
Well, Jonathan, at Ghost Ranch, the paleontologists think their dinosaurs were covered by sediment deposited by a river that overflowed its bank. Our dinosaurs are covered by the same material. See it right here? This rock layer is known as the Shinley Formation.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
This deposit stretches into northern Utah, southern Nevada, and up into Colorado. It's also very common here in New Mexico. So when we see a huge layer that stretches across several states, we think the evidence points better to a massive flood.
Another thing that's like Ghost Ranch is the way in which the dinosaurs were deposited. What do you notice about them?
To be honest, it looks like someone just put a bunch of dinosaur skeletons and then some mud into a blender, and then they poured them out right here.
You're right, Jonathan. The bones are deposited in a jumbled mess. It looks as if they were deposited once and then ripped up, moved, and then redeposited again.
Well, that would take some very strong water currents.
And look at this one, Jonathan. This fossil is very similar to many that have been found at Ghost Ranch.
Its neck looks like it's been unnaturally bent backward over its back.
Again, evidence of very strong water forces at work. Another thing is that many of the skeletons are facing the same direction. This is also an indication that water currents deposited these skeletons.
Here's something else. You see right here, Jonathan? You see the skeleton?
Uh-huh.
Like the ones at Ghost Ranch, these fossils don't show any evidence of exposure.
What do you mean by that?
Well, let's pretend for a moment that these animals weren't killed by water, okay? When they died, they would slowly be buried, which would give them time to be exposed to the elements, you know, wind, rain, and such. There would be a little bit of deterioration as a result of that. But instead, there is no evidence of erosion. They're perfectly preserved. That's good evidence that they were buried very quickly.
Jonathan, do you know what this is?
I have no clue.
This is a lungfish burrow.
All right.
These are found at Ghost Ranch and here at our site. Now, Jonathan, let me ask you a question. Where do lungfish normally live?
Water?
You're right. So tell me this. Why are fish buried right alongside land-dwelling Coelophysis dinosaurs?
Whoa! It's like the flood just picked up those fish and dinosaurs, mixed them together, and then dropped them right here.
I agree.
And suddenly it's hitting me how similar this is to the things you find out at Petrified Forest when you look at those logs. Zach, I think Jonathan and I need to get back up to the museum. I've got some news for them. everyone's here.
Hi, guys.
Yeah. Hey. Hi.
Perfect timing.
Guys, I was just out at the fossil graveyard explaining to Jonathan about the incredible evidence for the flood when suddenly I was thinking about the same type of evidence out of the petrified forest.
Yeah, but tell them the rest.
All right, Jim and I were talking on the way here, and we both agreed that this is too great of an opportunity to miss out on. I'm going to drive out there and get those specimens so I can do my research project.
Hey, I've already got that display built. While you're out there getting the petrified wood, I'll start setting it up.
As Kendall and I were talking, we think that both the Parks and Brennan should head out to the petrified forest.
This close to the grand opening?
We've all been working so hard to get ready for the celebration on Saturday. You know, and once we're open, we're going to be really busy. So I thought a road trip might be a welcome break.
Jim, it sounds crazy, but I think you're right. We've pretty much got everything done.
That's true. It's all under control. Benjamin and I could hold down the fort while you're gone.
And what about the Eagle's Nest Gang? Your parents gave all of you permission to help out the next few days, right?
Yes, yes they did.
Okay, then. Let's do it.
Yes.
Okay, let's go.
Welcome to Petrified Forest National Park.
Hello, my name's Dr. Kendall Park, and this is my family.
Hi.
And this is the Brennan family.
Hello.
Jim Brennan.
I'm here to collect specimens. Mm-hmm. Scott Ryman called and said that my research proposal had been approved and that I was granted a collection permit.
I'm sorry, Scott has left for lunch and then to run some errands in Holbrook. He won't be back until tomorrow.
What?
Is there someone else that can help us?
Not for a collection permit.
I don't think you understand. We just drove for 6 hours to get out here.
I'm sorry, but Scott can help you tomorrow afternoon.
Great. We don't have time for this.
Kendall, why don't we just spend the night in a motel and take care of this tomorrow afternoon?
That sounds like fun.
Yeah.
I guess we don't have any other choice.
Until then, have you already picked the specimens that you would like to remove?
No.
Then why don't you spend this afternoon out in the park deciding which logs you'd like to remove so that when Scott comes back, you'll be ready to go.
Oh, that sounds like a good idea.
Yeah.
Welcome to Brennan Ranch. My name's Nick.
This is quite a place you have here.
Thank you. It's been a lot of work.
Yes, I'm sure it has been. My name's Crystal Brown, and I'm with an environmental concerns group called Green New Mexico.
Well, what can we do for you today, Crystal?
I'm afraid that I have some bad news for you. You see, we got a phone call from a concerned citizen that reports that you have a plant known as the Shama Blazing Star growing on your property.
What? A plant?
Yes. Metazelia conspicua todsen, to be exact. It's a plant that's only known to grow here in Rio Arriba County. It's very rare.
So, what you're telling me is...
That plant needs to be protected. I came out to confirm that it really is on this property. And if it is, our group will need to report this to state officials under the Environmental Protection Act.
Oh my... What exactly does that mean?
It means that if that plant is here, this entire operation will need to be shut down for its protection. At the least, officials will most likely ask you to temporarily cease all activity here for a couple of months while this is further investigated.
But our grand opening is this Saturday.
Well, unfortunately, this situation takes precedence. It may be that your entire business may have to locate to somewhere else.
You've got to be kidding!
The petrified forest is so interesting.
Yeah.
It kind of looks like the surface of the moon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right, Ryan. Except for there's hundreds of strange-looking logs just lying on the ground.
Kendall, when you said forest, I imagined something totally different. There's not a single standing tree here. Just thousands of petrified logs laying in pieces.
It really looks like someone just took a paintbrush and splashed it across the dunes.
Yeah. Is this special dirt?
No, believe it or not, this dirt is actually the same Shinley formation that we have back at the ranch.
Wow. Shinley, all the way out here?
Yep. Like I've said, the Shinley formation stretches out over several states. Wow. As a matter of fact, this area is comprised of sedimentary rock, sandstone, and conglomerates that are all deposited by water.
That's interesting.
And although we see thousands of logs on top, there's probably millions underground. It looks like the trees and rock material were all kind of mixed together and dumped right here.
That definitely fits with the flood.
You know, I should also point out that the Shinley Formation is comprised out of ash from volcanoes.
What do volcanoes have to do with the flood?
Remember how Genesis 7:11 says that all the fountains of the Great Deep were broken up? Well, creation scientists think this might be referring to volcanoes.
Mm-hmm.
So, Dr. Park, how did all these logs become petrified anyway?
Yeah.
Well, Jesse... When ash is mixed with water, it gives up a component known as silica. The logs covered in the Shinley become like sponges, soaking up the silica. eventually, it replaces the wood molecules in the log, turning it into a rock in the perfect shape of wood.
Whoa. Doesn't that take a really long time?
Actually, with the right chemical conditions present, petrification can happen very rapidly.
So you said that someone reported they saw this plant on our property?
Yes, exactly. They said it was right next to a sidewalk that wound its way through some aspen trees.
Well, I think this must be it. This is our nature trail, and just up here it winds through the aspens.
What's it look like? The flower is a beautiful bright yellow. The petals flatten out into a circle, while the center bursts open with long, curved, hair-like structures. It's very pretty.
Here's the aspen trees.
Okay. Our phone caller said that it was just to the right of the path. Does anyone see it?
There it is!
Eddie, it's a candy wrapper.
Well, she said to look for something beautiful and yellow.
And so in your brain that meant a candy wrapper?
Hey, beauty's in the eye of the beholder.
Maybe it's not here.
The person said that...
Is this it?
Yes! I don't believe it, a Shama blazing star. Aren't they beautiful?
Beauty's in the eye of the beholder.
Okay. So what happens now?
I want you guys to put up a temporary fence or something to make sure that this plant is protected. Then I need to contact the authorities.
I like this motel.
It's not a bad room.
It didn't take us too long to get from the petrified forest to Holbrook.
But until then, can you find out what our options are?
You got it.
Thanks, Nick. Yeah. I'll give you a call first thing in the morning.
Good night, Jim.
What was that about?
You're not going to believe it. I guess some group has found a rare plant on our property, and now they're going to shut us down for a while.
What? You mean we can't open the museum?
Possibly.
Oh, Jim, that's terrible.
Can they do that?
I'm not sure, Ryan.
What are we going to do?
Well, we're going to pray. God's gotten us this far, hasn't he?
It's not like this is the first setback we've encountered.
Do you guys ever think that maybe God's telling us not to build this museum?
Well, you know, Ryan, that's a very good question. You know what I think's going on?
What's that?
In Ephesians 6:12, it says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." I think the enemy doesn't want us to build a museum that brings glory to God.
But if God really wants us to do something, won't he make it easy for us?
Ryan, many people think that when someone becomes a Christian, that everything will go smoothly. But that's not true. As a matter of fact, in some cases, things get much more difficult. The difference is that as Christians, we rely on God's strength to get us through.
That's like some Christians in other countries. When they follow God, they're persecuted and hated and sometimes even killed for their faith.
That's why we can't say that hard circumstances mean that God doesn't want us to continue. Sometimes he allows hard things to make us grow. So Ryan, hard things are the things that God uses to build our character.
When things stand in our way of doing the Lord's work, we need to remember 1 Corinthians 15:58.
Hey, that was one of my memory verses.
Let's hear it.
Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15:58.
Good job, big sister.
Martha, did the Parks get checked into their room all right?
Yeah, they're all settled in.
All right, well, I'm going to call Kendall and let him know what's going on. Then we ought to have our prayers, and then we need to get to bed so we can get some sleep.
That's right. It's going to be an exciting day at the Petrified Forest tomorrow.
What a beautiful morning.
It sure is, Dad.
You know, it's almost pretty enough to make me forget about the problem back at the ranch. Hey, Jonathan, do you see the others?
Dad, I think they're still back at the Indian petroglyphs.
We need to find the specimens we want to take home today. And I think these are them.
Well, these are nice, but out of thousands of logs, why'd you choose these?
Jonathan, look at this petrified wood and then try to imagine what they were like as trees. Now look at these logs. What are they missing?
Well, they have... Hey, they're missing their branches.
You're right. What else?
Wait, their roots are gone.
Excellent. Now, look around you. Do you see any logs that have their branches or roots?
Well, now that you mention it, no. Almost every single one is missing them.
And you'll notice that we haven't seen much of the bark either. But you see, if these trees grew right here in this very spot and then gradually died right in place and then petrified, why wouldn't their branches, roots, and bark petrify right along with the rest of the tree?
Well, could it be because roots are more delicate, so they don't petrify as well?
Well, that's a good theory, but look right here at this one. Do you see how incredibly well this log fossilized? I mean, you can see every detail.
Yeah, it looks just like the wood.
As a matter of fact, these logs are so well preserved, we can even see the fine detail of their cell structure. So if every detail of the logs was petrified, where are the roots and branches?
That's a good question.
But now imagine these trees growing somewhere else. Suddenly, huge water torrents sweep through the forest, uprooting these trees and carrying them away. The strong currents would rip away the roots and branches and strip off most of the bark. Eventually, the floodwaters deposited the heavy trunks here and covered them with sediments so they would fossilize.
So wouldn't the branches, roots, and bark be deposited somewhere else to petrify?
Well, since these roots and branches were lighter, they were probably washed away and rotted before they could be fossilized.
You know, that sounds like great evidence for the flood.
Imagine if this forest did grow in this spot. As the trees lived, they would naturally drop their needles, bark would sometimes fall off, limbs would break, and every once in a while, an old tree would even fall over.
Like a regular forest?
Yes. Well, stuff that falls to the ground forms a special material that lines the forest floor, a black humus material. We see this in every forest. So if these trees really did grow here in a forest, we should be able to find that special layer right here in the petrified forest.
But we don't.
You're right. That's even more evidence that these trees grew somewhere else and were transported here by the flood.
All right, Eagle's Nest, let's keep picking up trash. We gotta get this place looking great for Saturday.
Hey, look, there's that flower.
I feel like stomping on that thing.
Yeah, that'd take care of our problem.
Somehow I don't think that's the right thing to do.
I agree. We need to go by the rules.
Well, what would God want us to do?
Hey, Timmy, that's an excellent question.
Well, remember how in Genesis, the Bible says that God gave mankind the dominion mandate?
Yeah, that's right. Genesis 1 says something about humans having dominion. Or being put in charge over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth.
So God's asking us to take care of the earth.
Well, yeah, but I mean, what about this plant? Are we supposed to let it stop us from running a museum that tells people about the Creator?
I mean, to me that seems to be going too far. I think we could protect this flower, but still open a museum.
I think some people go too far and make plants and nature more important than God, or people.
That's like what Romans 1:25 says about people who turn their backs on God. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever.
So, I guess God wants us to take care of His creation, but remember that we worship Him and not what He makes.
Kendall, how are you doing?
We're doing great.
Hey, we found our specimen.
Great.
So now all we've got to do is see if Scott has arrived down at the park headquarters and let him know we've identified our specimens. We'll do the paperwork, load the petrified wood, and be on our way.
I'm ready to get home so we can deal with this environmental thing.
Well, I think...
What's that?
It's a sheriff's car.
And they're coming this way.
Now what's going on?
Hello, I'm Sheriff Montel, and this is Ranger Phillips.
Hello, gentlemen. Jim Brennan. Can we help you with something?
Yesterday we discovered that a large portion of petrified wood had been taken from the park,
what?
And it's against federal law to remove any wood from this park, let alone the huge quantity that was taken yesterday.
Oh,
that's a shame.
And we have an eyewitness that says she saw this man right here taking it.
What? Me?
Yes, sir. She was adamant that she saw you measuring the wood, what? Then loading it into your vehicle.
Whoa, wait a minute. That's not true. I was just collecting data. Now, ironically, I am a scientist here on the research project, but I haven't even taken any of it yet.
Can I see your collection permit?
Well, no, I haven't received it yet. I was going up to the office right now to get it,
sir. If you do not have a collection permit with you and you removed mass amounts from the park yesterday.
But I didn't.
But this is...
We have an eyewitness that says different.
He's not
a... Sir, please come with us. Let's head down to the park headquarters.
What about us?
You can meet us down there. Let's go.
All right, guys. It's gonna be all right. When we get down to the office, they're gonna straighten everything out.
Get in the car, please.
I can't believe they just took Dad away like some criminal or something.
Oh, so what are we going to do now?
I'm not sure.
What a frustrating couple of days. We found out that our museum may be shut down, and now they've taken Kendall away.
I know one thing. Unless we straighten out this mess with Kendall and get home, we're going to completely miss the grand opening.
We're losing everything we've worked for all these years.
Dr. Kendall Park has just been taken into sheriff's custody. Meanwhile, back at the Brennan Ranch, a rare plant threatens to shut down the Brennan Museum of Creation. How will they make it in time for the grand opening celebration? To find out, join us for part 2 of Jonathan Park and the Blazing Star. You've been listening to the adventures of Jonathan Park. Although the story is fictitious, many of our adventures are based on real places, historical events, or scientific discoveries. To learn more about Jonathan Park and evidence for creation, please visit our website at jonathanpark.com. You'll also find additional resources that will help you see and understand how science is in complete agreement with God's Word. That's jonathanpark.com. Make sure to join us next time as the Park and Brennan families fight for their dream of the Creation Museum in Part 2 of Jonathan Park and the Blazing Star.
Until next time, this is Dr. Kendall Park reminding you, this is our Father's world. God created it. We can explore it. So live the adventure.